Yeah. Well, we on the air? Fantastic. Hey, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce, although Dr. Bruce is not here tonight. Anderson, I'm going to have to hear myself soon. There you go, buddy. Boy, we are a well-oiled machine in here. Anderson's in the control room with my mic potted down. Producer Anna's in here chewing on my ear, and I'm having a lovely conversation with her while we're on the air. Dr. Bruce is God knows where. We really run a tight ship over here. All right, did I give the phone number and the fax number? I can't remember that part. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191, fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Bruce, in theory, is a board-certified physician, although you wouldn't know it by talking to him or looking at him or hanging out with him, which I did last night. I hung with Dr. Bruce. Oh, yes, down in Anaheim at the Supercross race. Our good buddy Jeremy McGrath won, as he does each and every year, and it was exciting. I mean, 45,000 people packed into a stadium, guys getting 20 feet of air, clearing triple jumps. Make that 30 feet of air. We're drinking beers and hanging out. Dr. Bruce met us out there. Dr. Bruce had a... well, I don't want to say anything about Dr. Bruce because he's going to pull in here in a minute. And I want him here to defend himself, but we had a good time. And we swung like pendulums, too, let me tell you. Bruce didn't turn in until 2, 3 in the evening last night. All right. Where is Bruce?
1 minute away.
1 minute away.
It's called.
Fantabulous. You got a coffee for me, Ann?
Yeah.
Thank you, baby. Yeah, everyone's a little disheveled tonight. I never got out of my pajamas. Anderson's over there looking a little caught off guard at the show. The show kind of snuck up on us tonight, didn't it, Anderson?
Well, I was too busy getting ready for the best of because you weren't here. And Bruce wasn't here.
I see. No one was here. Yeah, but you should know. See, I like to listen to the beginning of the show in my car when I pull up. That's how I like to roll the show. All right, so Drew is in the south of France somewhere with his family skiing, using up all his vacation time. I'm here because I'm dedicated and I love the kitties. Dr. Bruce, who you'd think would really, really welcome this opportunity to be on a national radio show, takes it... in quite a casual fashion, but that may be because he's passive-aggressive and he likes to try to lash out at me whenever he can, although we have a love-hate relationship, and he's going to get some hate when he rolls in. I know he's listening. Oh, I thought that was Dr. Bruce for a second. Turns out it's just my coffee. So here's what we'll do.
Sex and I passed out a couple times.
Oh, yes. He did pass out last night, by the way. Oh, yeah. We watched... after watching this huge motocross event, we then went into a theater and watched Jeremy McGrath's big movie. Jeremy comes on the show from time to time, and anyone who knows anything about Supercross knows that this guy is number one by quite a distance. And the number one rider has, I don't know, 27 total victories, and Jeremy McGrath has like 75. I mean, it's really a landslide. It's really the Tiger Woods and the Michael Jordan of Supercross.
74
Whoa!
Saves.
All right, I'm just going to pile through these calls. Jessica?
Hey.
Hey. Oh, my God. You're 23 and your mom is diagnosed with something I can't pronounce?
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
And that's your question?
Yeah. I don't know what the hell it is.
Yeah. Fibromyalgia?
Fibro.
Yeah, all right, baby.
I think something.
Well, you can pronounce it. Yeah, what is that? Well, I'm no doctor, but it sounds like cancer.
No, don't say that.
Well, it just sounds like it. And I give her 3 weeks.
That's not nice.
Okay. No, you're right. 3 to 5 weeks. 3 to 5.
You what? Are an asshole.
Is that cool?
No, that's not cool.
All right. When is your birthday?
October 12th.
October. Well, all right. She'll make it to your birthday.
Oh, is it in the stars?
Yeah. Yeah, I give her October. When is that? About 8 months, 9 months or something?
Yeah. What does it say about
ten.
The rest of society?
Yeah. I didn't...
10, no, no, no.
Yeah, she'll get... she'll make it to Easter. How about that, baby?
Well, that's not very nice.
All right, well, listen, I'm going to put you on hold, and when Bruce comes in... Lazy
slacker.
Bruce comes in. He can slacker, lazy, stoner Bruce comes in. He can stutter his way through an answer, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right, so just hang on, all right?
All righty.
All right. Let's go to Laura. Laura?
Hi.
You're 19. What's up?
I have a really complicated situation going on right now. I'll try to keep it brief as I can. But October of 99, I was at my local college, and I found a flyer up for a musician who was looking for a band, for a vocalist, and I happened to be a vocalist, so I responded to his ad, and we hit it off, like, really well right away. We were having sex by November.
What kind of music do you do?
I'm an acoustic rock singer.
I see. Do you do any stuff? Do you cover any songs?
No, it's all original.
I see.
Yeah.
Could you give us a little of your original, one of your original ditties?
I would love to.
Yeah, give me a little of that.
Okay, this one's called Rowena.
Yeah.
And just cut me off when you need me to stop.
All right.
Bittersweet and melancholy. That's
all right, that's enough. That's enough.
Thanks.
Were you a heart? Were you singing about Pegasuses and unicorns and things like that? No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Laura. Let's go a little more. I'm sorry.
Okay, so
bittersweet and melancholy.
You want me to go with the song?
Yeah, let's go a little more.
Okay.
2, 3, 4.
Bittersweet and melancholy, that's the way life is. Feelings that you want to hide. Vultures circle overhead, singing their death song, waiting for Rowena's soul to die. Rowena's soul will die.
Yeah. Hold on. Were you molested or beaten or what happened? What happened with your childhood?
Actually, I've had a really, really good childhood.
And you're singing about Rowena's soul dying?
Well, I mean, nobody ever did anything to me. I've always been, like, a little overweight and... I got made fun of that a lot.
I see.
Now I'm, like, thinning down and I'm working out and I'm almost down to my target weight, but...
Feeling good about yourself. Speaking of making fun of in high school, Dr. Bruce is just... hauled his spindly ass into the studio.
I heard you on the radio.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe Anderson will turn your mic off.
Over 100.
Washington coming.
There you go. All right.
Thank you.
Dr. Bruce is here now. So hold on. Let me talk to Bruce for just 1 second.
Oh, no.
Bruce, the show's begun. You're aware of that. What'd you hit? Notorious Sunday night traffic?
And I turned around for your buddy. I forgot the numbing stuff. So I turn around, go back home.
Right.
Get the lidocaine cream.
Okay. Do you have it?
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Bruce is going to take a tattoo of one of my buddies. One of my buddies has the name of his ex-girlfriend on his ankle.
The proverbial ex-girlfriend.
You know, here's the problem. That's cool, except for his wife isn't really thrilled about the name of his ex-girlfriend on his ankle. I think it must kind of remind... must be a constant reminder, yeah. I mean, even though he wears socks... Still, she knows it's there. And how would you do with that, by the way, if Doug had some X written on his ankle? You cut his leg off, right?
Yeah, pretty much. He doesn't need it.
Yeah, here's what I figure Ann's move would be. I figure Ann's move would be like she'd get him all liquored up, he'd pass out, and then she'd carve it out with a crocheting needle while he was belly up, right?
I would just shave off the first few layers of the skin.
Right. Just keep going at it with like a orbital sander or something until it came off.
Not too much pain.
All right. So anyway, Dr. Bruce is going to remove my buddy's tat, which is very generous of him. But apparently this is a fairly painful procedure, something that Bruce rarely talks about. They do it with the laser, and it's pretty painful. And so you have to rub some numbing cream. Is that Embla cream?
Embla cream or... there's several types. But
that they rub on it.
Yeah. You could use hemorrhoid cream.
Doesn't have as much pop, though, right?
Not as much pop, no. It's good for hemorrhoids.
Was cocaine originally sort of formulated for that? What was cocaine? What was that?
It was in Coca... Well, you know, the famous Coca-Cola was...
But didn't they make that as a topical?
It still is. It's still used by ear, nose, and throat surgeons for nasal anesthesia.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
You mean, would you suck it up, or would they put on a suave or something, put it up there, or do it in a liquid form?
Yeah, you can put it, for instance, if you're going to do a procedure where you put a fiber optic scope
in your nose,
the nose and down to look at the vocal cords or something like that.
Right.
It gives you good anesthesia and vasoconstriction, so you don't
Is it in a liquid form?
It comes liquid, powder.
But how would they put it up your nose?
Liquid and then on a...
Yeah.
On a,
okay. So when I say, is it in liquid form three times? You say yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
King, okay. I'm going to call you King.
Well...
King Adam.
What the F? I mean, listen, how combative do you got to be? I keep saying it's in liquid form.
Well, what do you,
think?
It's powder and they snort it. That's what we have.
Well, listen, jackass, I know it's in powder form.
I hope your buddies are listening and see how abusive you are.
We all know it's in powder form. I'm wondering if they snort it. I doubt they do, and that's why I keep asking.
We
it's in
all
liquid
know.
Form.
If you know why you're
Yes,
asking.
I do know it comes in powder form.
Is this good radio? You beating me up over there?
You know what good radio would be?
If I weren't here.
You agreeing with me when I'm right, you jackass. Please. All right. So, anyway, you got some of this cream. What'd you get?
Well, this is I have it compounded by a pharmacist at 10%.
Ooh.
Because the 4% doesn't work. So.
No. You have your own batch made up.
Yeah.
Nice. And what's the big deal with something like the cortisone cream and stuff? I mean, why can't you get something that's got a little punch to it? You know what I mean? I mean, if you're using a cream to numb an area of your skin so you can get a tattoo removed, why not make it 10% so it works? Why do you got to go blow a pharmacist to get a special Dr. Bruce batch made up?
Well, right.
That's right.
My sentiments exactly. Well, it's to protect the public because, first of all...
Protect them against what? They're in pain because you got a laser on the guy's tattoo and it's not numb.
Right, but to allow people to purchase 10% lidocaine, yeah, you can absorb enough lidocaine to get a significant blood level and have toxicity. Just like when you're giving an injection to numb the skin, you can only give a certain amount. So there's a danger.
So what are you? Aren't you worried?
I'm a doctor. I know what I'm doing.
But you're giving it to my buddy. He's going to rub it all over his penis and have sex with his wife.
What, maintain?
Yeah. Give me a little of that. I'm going to use it to whack off tonight.
Listen, you could do well with putting it on. If we can get it to your brain, numb the part that's obnoxious.
Put it in a Q-tip. Put it in my ear.
I heard what you're telling me. You got the listener on line one probably is...
No. Like, we'll get to that when we get to
gonna
that.
She's going to die from fibromyalgia.
Let's get to Laura first. Laura?
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, you're in a band. You answered an ad, right?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I answered
yes,
the ad.
Yes, you answered the ad. You're in a band.
It sounded like you said NAD.
In a NAD.
You know, answered NAD. That's what you said.
You answered a NAD, and you're in a band, right?
Laura, I'll help interpret.
Well, I was. And then he and I got engaged in last December. And so it was like we knew each other for 3 months when we got engaged. And I moved in by January, and just like things went like just totally... down the toilet from there.
And now, so you broke up with him?
We broke up in March, but I decided not to move back home because I liked living out on my own. I liked having the freedom, and I still loved him. And we had, like, one of those, you know, on and off again relationships. It was just really sucky. And finally, I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't take what he was doing to me anymore. So I moved home in October.
What was he doing to you?
Well, a lot of things. Like, he would go days without talking to me if he got mad at me.
All right.
Like all right. 4 days, he would push me around and, you know, stuff like that.
He physically push you around?
And melancholy, that's the way life is.
It's true, baby. That is. So now, it's life imitating art. So you broke up, and now what's he doing?
Now, I moved back home in October, and now he's been leaving notes in my car. He found, like, he knew what bank I worked at, but he didn't know which branch. So he drove around the entire area until he found my car parked outside the branch that I work at.
Yeah.
And he's been leaving notes in my car, and he's been calling my parents' house and leaving.
What do the notes say?
They don't make any sense at all. Like... he said something about, they don't make sense.
One of them looks like a Thomas guide?
No. One of them...
Because that could be, I could explain that.
How would
he
you,
drew a map of his parents' old neighborhood.
Yeah.
And he put, like, all of his friends that he grew up with, and then he, like, Brian, like, Cash, he made, like, little things to go up with the names of his friends, like little rhyming things. And
all right. All right. Hey, Laura?
Yes.
All right. You done with the guy?
I don't want anything to do with him.
All right. If you truly don't, do not respond to any of this.
Right. That's the I contacted the police last time he left a note in my car at work.
Yeah.
But they said that there's nothing that they can do.
You keep saying in your car.
And yeah, he has a key to my car.
I see.
Before I moved out, I tried to get it back, but he saw that I took it, and he got really
mad. All right. So, Laura, this guy's a piece of work, but you give him nothing. Give him nothing. Don't return his calls. Don't answer any of his questions, and he will fade away, and he'll find someone else to bother soon. All right?
Okay.
But you can do nothing. If he calls, do not talk to him.
Rowena's soul will die.
Or Rowena's soul will die. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Done talking to her.
She needs to call the police again.
Leave the police alone.
No, you need to get a restraining.
Leave alone.
She needs a restraining order.
Get a restraining order.
She needs help in pestering the police because they will give her a restraining order.
All right. But Jesus Christ, everyone with the cops. Let them do something important. Jessica?
Yeah.
Hey, you're 23.
Hey.
Yeah, so fibromyalgia.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Yeah, what is that, Bruce?
It's a connective tissue disorder. It's a term that's used for something that's not really well understood. Typically, people have trigger points. There are areas, many parts of the body, where you press and there's extreme pain. These people will describe vague weakness, joint pain.
Oh,
but characteristically, there are specific areas.
Nuts. It's nuts.
No.
I see.
It's been associated with people that that are very anxious.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Is your mom anxious or?
Oh, she's a very, very nervous.
And she goes to doctors a lot, probably.
You give her about 3 weeks.
Have anything to do with her? She's got a lot of back pain.
I give the doctor about 3 weeks.
Is she one of these people that hasn't worked in a while?
Right, years and years.
Yeah. You know why?
Sits at home, cleans the house.
She's crazy.
No.
Oh, yes.
Don't say that.
Yes.
Why do you have to be mean to my mom?
Because, listen, everybody who has, like, chronic back problems and can't work and didn't get in a motorcycle accident, just all the people who can't work are crazy.
Jessica, you know what? Justice will be done. Adam will come in here a year from now and say, God, I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia.
No, admit it. It's like Epstein-Barr virus. It's one of these kind of made-up things, isn't it?
No. And what's very interesting about connective tissue disorders, there are connections to certain anxiety disorders. For instance, mitral valve prolapse for many years that was described as people would have nonspecific chest pain. And it turns out that the connective tissue disorder that goes along with this valve in the heart that is a little elongated and irregular, there are bona fide affective disorders.
Why hasn't she been able to work for all these years? Jessica?
She doesn't have a car. She doesn't drive. She's an old hill.
She doesn't.
From Kentucky in the hills.
Okay. I'm going to rest my case now.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, but didn't she used to like run moonshine or something? I mean, doesn't she drive a truck?
No.
Okay.
Just a little proper. Okay.
All right. Are you moved out of there?
Yeah, I live in Ohio.
Good, good.
That's a big improvement.
Good. Don't ever go back. All right. We're going to let you go, Jessica.
And let me ask you a question. Can I ask you one question?
Me or Bruce?
You.
Go ahead.
Dear Adam, who has been calling you baby so that you're calling everyone else in the world baby?
That's a good question.
One of your black friends.
Nobody. No one's been calling me baby.
Where'd you get the baby?
I don't know.
I've heard you say baby about 6 times.
He's a big star now, you know. So
yeah.
So that's your cool way to be.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to shorten it to babe. All right, babe. All right. Have fun over there in Ohio.
Thanks.
Suckeye State, you know.
Yeah, you're big in the hill country there.
All righty, babies. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Bruce over there. Man show on tonight, by the way, Comedy Central, 10 o'clock. The Fantabulous.
Shameless self-promotion.
The Fantabulous Man Show. Dr. Bruce, you want to pile through some more calls, or do you want to talk about you having a few highballs over at the Super Bowl Motocross? Yeah, you had a good time.
That was great.
Let me tell you something. Let me pay Dr. Bruce a compliment for just 1 second. Dr. Bruce, you wouldn't know from looking at him or talking to him or even reading about him, but he's a regular guy. He is a guy who likes pawn shops and junkyards. He likes shooting rats with a .22. He likes motorcycles. He likes stuff with an engine and a sprocket on it. He likes guitars. He likes cars. He likes things. Dr. Drew does not like things, unless you count his kids, his wife, or a stethoscope. as things.
Mm.
Drew has no interest in anything except for Scantron sheets and books about feminism. So when we talk, I want to talk to him about cars and motorcycles and equipment and junk and building. And he just looks at me, rolls his eyes, and gets back to a Scantron test. But Bruce, a.k.a. Dr. Spaz, he likes junk. And that's why I was happy to see him last night at the motocross race in Anaheim.
It turns out I knew one of your old buddies 10 years ago.
You did?
Yeah.
Who'd you know?
The thrift store.
You knew the Wheeze?
The Wheeze. The Wheeze. And I did a public access show 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. He was telling me about that. Yeah.
So he's a good guy.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Turns out to be, he's got the goods on you also.
You have plenty to talk
slowly
about.
Slowly disclosing
here,
your lack of sex life.
How dare you. All right, let's go to, who are we talking to here, Bruce?
Throwing a soul loser.
All right, listen.
Get that woman out of here.
We got to, we should take a break.
Okay.
Hey, put the man show on in there, Ann, would you please? And just tell me when we get to a commercial. I don't know which one it is tonight. Jessica?
Hello?
You're 14.
Hi, oh my God, I love you so much. Hi, baby.
Hey, baby. What's happening, baby?
Okay.
Loving you, baby.
Okay, well, I love you a lot.
Yeah, I'm loving you, baby.
That's the most serious problem we've dealt with tonight.
You're, like, dead sexy.
What? Yeah, what's up, baby?
Okay, well, the problem is that you're not with me.
Yeah, baby. Listen.
I called earlier, and I have you all over my notebook.
Wait, is this someone? Wait a minute. You're the same one who called and said I was over your notebook last week?
Yeah, and I made a second one. And well, my friend Natalie, well, we're going to see you, and we need your address.
Yeah, okay. You want my home address?
No.
We can have both.
I see.
We can have both.
When are you guys coming out here?
Well, I live here. I live in Santa Monica, but she's coming down and staying with me.
Uh-huh.
We're making a movie for you.
Adam, she's 14.
All right, well, 14-year-olds are allowed to make movies. What about Macaulay Culkin?
Yeah.
He did all those movies.
Adam's always right. You should listen to him.
Yeah. What kind of movie are you?
He's the sexiest man in the world.
Hold on.
It must be a small planet. It's a small world.
What kind of movie? You talking about Disneyland? What kind of movie are you going to make for me?
Natalie, you can explain.
Okay, I don't know. It's, like, really weird. But then we're going to have us jumping on my trampoline.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine.
At the end.
That's fine.
Oh, and, okay.
Keep your training bras on, girls.
In the man show, like, you had this, like, really sexy suit on. Like,
it's a leather suit.
Yeah.
And we think you should be jumping on the trampoline wearing that at the end, not those girls.
What leather suit was I wearing?
I don't know.
That was like...
Oh, that's the one without the butt in it, right?
Yeah. We thought it was really sexy.
I don't remember that one, but... All right, babies.
Wait, can we talk to you on hold?
No.
Okay,
listen. You guys are 14. It's not like you're 15. You understand? We got to give it another 8 months or something. Look at it this way.
You said that you'd make an exception for me, though.
I know, but here's what I want to say, Jessica. Look at our love as a flower that hasn't bloomed yet. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm coming down in February, and I really want to see you.
Well, okay, you can see me.
Thank you.
How old's your father, Jessica?
Please, let's not ruin it with talk of parents. All right, you can come down here and pay us a visit.
Okay, but I need to wait. Where are you in Culver City?
Hold on. What kind of beer do you guys drink?
Red Bull.
That's not beer. How about Mickey's Big Mouth? We'll go to the park after the show. Corona? Cool.
Yes.
Unacceptable.
All right, Ann will give you guys the address.
Who?
That's a producer, Ann.
It's his mother.
She's the other woman.
His mother's going to chaperone you guys.
How old do you have to be to get tickets to the man show?
She has a good question. They do serve beer, so I think it's 21. Okay, listen, ladies.
Can we go on?
Hold on now. Slow down, because I'm feeling a lot of pressure in this relationship all of a sudden.
Oh, you're feeling
me right back.
Yeah.
Mm.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Dr. Bruce is here, filling in for Dr. Drew.
Feeling nauseous.
Just for another couple nights, right?
Yep.
And Drew will be back, God willing, and we'll be back after this.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
1-800-LOVE-191.
We'll be right back.
Yeah. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Spaz over there. You know him as Dr. Bruce, filling in for Dr. Drew. Just a couple more days. He's in here. He has his coffee with his 14 sugars in it, and he's ready to party. Now, Dr. Bruce brought in this special elixir he makes up, or as a pharmacist friend, make up for him. He does tattoo removal via a laser. And he usually takes, between 5 and 10 treatments to get rid of a tattoo. And it's a little painful.
Mm.
It's a little bit of a burning sensation.
Exactly.
So it's best to numb the area before you hit it with the laser, and you can do it with a topical cream. Now, you have this 10% lidocaine made up for you, because usually the stuff you buy only has 4%.
Right.
And you can't even buy that over the counter, can you?
Actually, there is a type you can't. The pharmacies never seem to stock it. So.
Is there an answer to this question I just asked you?
There's a 4% cream you can buy over the counter.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
What's
but
that
they
called?
Never have it.
They never have it.
Yeah,
okay.
Elimax. There's...
Now, this is actually made up special for you.
Yeah.
And for this, and I'm going to try a little on myself. That be all right?
Be my guest.
The thing that makes me nervous about this is the big letters that say beef flavor.
Yeah.
On it. Yeah.
It made me nervous, too.
That seems a little distracting.
A cheap pharmacist didn't want to waste
tube?
Any labels.
So we use the beef flavor lidocaine?
Well, no one's tasted it yet, but that wouldn't preclude you from tasting it. So maybe put some on your tongue, see what happens.
Why does this say beef flavor on it?
I have no idea.
What could it be used for? I mean, would it be if you were doing oral surgery on an animal and you wanted to numb, the gum or the tongue or something, or you wanted the animal to consume
it
somehow?
A cow, beef flavor probably wouldn't go over real.
Well, I mean, a cat or a dog?
Whatever.
What is this for?
That is...
Why does it say beef flavor?
I have no idea.
Okay, and you can think of no scenario in which it would be
I paid
useful.
This guy $400 for about 5 tubes of that stuff.
All right, where should I put it? Put it on my ankle?
Absolutely. Just anywhere, because...
Yeah? And how will I know it's numb? Can we put a cigarette out on my ankle later on?
Yeah. The problem with this kind of thing, it takes a long time. Any of these creams, you
how
wait
long?
For an hour.
Hmm. All right, well, I'll put it on now.
Yeah.
What if I put it on my scrotum?
As long as you do it in private, that's fine.
All right. Well, it'll absorb. Is that enough that I'm putting on there? Put a little dab on there?
Yep. Rub it in well.
Rub it in? And I should feel numbness? Could I perform some surgery on myself?
Other than the knowledge deficit, you probably could do.
Seriously, if I put a little of this on my penis, do you think I could last longer in the bedroom?
There are products that have a much lesser percentage of topical anesthetic that are sold under names like Maintain. And
I love that, Maintain.
And, theoretically.
Yeah. All right.
They work, but.
Yeah. All right, so I could try a little of that out later on?
What you do with this tube after you leave tonight, I don't want to know.
Because when I masturbate, sometimes I go too quickly.
I'm sure you're going to have just an adolescent experimental thing going on tonight.
Yeah,
after you leave.
I'm
going
to be driving home and give myself a freeze by putting it on my gum. And then when I get home, I'm going to see if I can smoke some of it out of a bong. And the rest is going on my penis.
And your buddy's going to have a painful procedure tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll
give him a cube of ice and go, that's what Bruce told me, to numb it up with some ice. All right, so I just put some on my ankle. We'll see how it goes. And theoretically, the end of my finger should get numb too, right?
Yeah, it's like anything you touch with that for the next...
That might help with the masturbation. Angela?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, for about a week now, when I pee, afterwards, it, really, really hurts. And, I just now noticed today that, on the, toilet paper, it looked kind of like a faint color of blood. But I'm not on my period or anything. And, all the time, I feel like I have to go to the bathroom, but I don't. And I want to know what is up.
You have a textbook urinary tract infection.
That's what that is.
It sounds like it. Of course, diagnosis over the radio waves is...
What could she try before going to a doctor? Could she go get some over the counter or something?
No.
No.
Go get checked out. Probably put you...
How did I get this? Does it just happen normally?
Right. Or? Very common. Women get urinary tract infections several times a year.
During violence, sex, and things like that.
There's honeymoon cystitis and... wiping the wrong way, you can get bacteria.
That's
in
right.
Your,
you always wipe
urinary tract.
Wipe north. And, wait a minute, Bruce.
Yes.
Is there, if you were to send her into a pharmacy, what would you tell her to pick up without a prescription?
Maybe some of that numbing stuff so it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. I'll give
no, you,
some. You
need a prescription. No, there are
nothing.
There's Pyridium, which is a numbing medication. You take it by mouth and.
Really?
Yeah, and then it. You're not supposed to take it for more than a couple days.
But how do you get rid of this urinary tract?
Well, you take an antibiotic. So
you got to get some prescribed.
You go in, they'll get a urine sample, and...
How about drinking the cranberry juice for a few days?
No.
Why not?
First of all, most cranberry juice...
Right, but let me tell you... All right, hold on a second. Most people, I have to explain this to you and Drew all the time, A, don't have a doctor, and B, going to a doctor in one of these HMOs or something like that is a hassle. Takes a lot of time. They kill a day, basically.
Then you go to the ER.
And they wait in line.
Go to an emergency room.
Why go to an emergency room?
Urgent care.
Here's what I'm saying. Are there a couple things she can try before she then goes in a couple days from now? What would you do if you were somewhere and you couldn't see a doctor for a couple of days?
Sure, you can acidify the urine using vitamin C, cranberry. The thing with cranberry juice is that most of the cranberry juice is not really juice. It's about 10% cranberry juice. So right. Go get some that's pure cranberry juice.
All right, let me explain.
Increase your fluid intake.
Let me explain something. Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to give the same speech to Drew because here's how I see your role here. Well, not your role per se, but the doctor's role because you're gone. You're out of here in a couple of days. We'll never see you again. But here's the way I look at your role.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if I was doing a home improvement show and people kept calling up and wanting to know how to swing a door, how to put in a doggy door, how to plane something, how to stop a table from rocking. And I just kept saying, call a carpenter. Call a carpenter. Have a carpenter come over. That's not really what they want to hear. They know that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? What I'd like to do is try to get them the information so that maybe they could fix it themselves without having to call a carpenter. And if that didn't work, then you call the carpenter.
But if I tell her to do so-and-so and she has an ectopic pregnancy, she has something else. If she went to a doctor, there more questions will be asked. She may have something else. So and for me to even give a
if it's serious,
suggestion
fine.
Of drink more water, more cranberry juice, then what if it, God forbid, is something else?
Well, you give her something to try for a day and a half or 2 days and then let her go.
Not a good idea. I don't have enough information. So she really should get it checked out. And in our country today, the accessibility to medical care, people complain if they have to wait a short period of time. But
short period. You ever been to County USC?
Yeah.
You son of a bitch. Yes, I have. 8 hours.
Oh,
I sat there for 8 hours. No, this is back in my, before I was a millionaire. Literally,
yeah,
a millionaire. I sat there for 8 hours, sandwiched in between Hobo Kelly and Hobo Bob. I mean, it was horrible. Guys, people throwing up, people with, like, syringes. You know, guys in there with, like, a spatula stuck in their back, just sitting there crying for 8 hours next to me. By the time I got my x-ray, I was praying a bone was broken. I was like, I sat here for goddamn 8 hours. A bone sure as hell better be broken. I was really disappointed when it wasn't broken.
You leave with just an instruction sheet.
Aaron?
Hey.
You're 16. What's up?
First of all, I got to say you guys kick ass, man.
Well, thanks.
And I was wondering what you guys thought, if it was okay for me to, like, have sex with my 15-year-old cousin.
Sure.
Sure?
Yeah.
What state are we in?
This is a little taboo, too, for you here. Except for in taboo, too, he had sex with his mom and his sister, so it wasn't quite as bad as his cousin. This is a distant cousin?
She's, like, adopted. My cousin, like, adopted her, like, 10 years ago.
Well, I mean, I know a lot of families that adopt kids just so the other rest of the family can have sex with them. sort of a surrogate vagina.
Is this somebody that you interact with on the family basis regularly?
Well, yeah. She lives in New Mexico, so she comes up to family reunions and stuff. But she's probably coming up for my brother's wedding.
How old was she when she was adopted, do you know?
Probably, like... I don't know, 5 or 6.
5 or 6?
Yeah.
Don't have sex with her.
Really?
She's a mess.
How old is she?
Hold on, quiet down. She's 15.
Yeah.
She's a mess. When you're adopted at birth, that's one thing. When you're adopted at 5 or 6, it means you had 5 or 6 years with your junkie mom and your alcoholic dad before the court yanked you out of there and dumped you off somewhere else, and you are damaged. Okay? Mm-hmm. And you're going to screw her life up and make it more confusing, and she's going to fall in love, and you're going to get her pregnant, and the kid's going to come out and be a killer. He's going to kill the president.
All right.
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Seriously, Aaron, I know to you, she's a beautiful young virile 15-year-old, but the reality is she's been to hell and back already. I guarantee it.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce, please, anyone, back me up here. Anyone's adopted at 5 or 6.
Surely she has issues.
And serious issues.
Almost surely abusive situation, if not physical sexual abuse. It's very common.
Listen, it's like a dog that is beaten constantly and then gets a new home.
Yeah, and it sounds
never
like
right.
Aaron's out for some sport here. I'm just curious as to whether you know she slept around.
Don't have sex with her. Leave her alone.
Absolutely not.
That's it. It's like my dad used to tell me, never, ever have sex with anyone, you know, inside of the family unless it's an emergency. You know, like we're camping.
Sage advice.
And we're going to be away from society for a couple of days, or the car breaks down, or something like that. You know, an extreme circumstance.
Who gave
you my dad. Oh. No sex with anyone within the family.
Unless
it's an emergency.
You know, I've met your dad. Your dad did not.
Yeah, he told me that. He told me that when I was 14. And I, you know, for the most part, for the most part, it's the way I've conducted myself.
It's great seeing the way your dad looks at you. It's sort of like, oh my, what happened to my son?
He did have an addendum to that. Never, ever have sex with anyone in the immediate family unless there's an emergency type situation or you're loaded. Those were the two things he told me. And I've always almost basically listened to him growing up, too, for the most part. All right, we got to take a break. Let's say hi to Jessica right before we leave. Jessica?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
Your teacher's hitting on you in school?
Yeah.
You go to a public school?
Yeah.
Okay. What class does he teach?
Agriculture.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
You're off to a great start, baby.
Animal husbandry.
You're in agriculture. That's bad times. All right, hold on.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, we've got
agriculture.
Let
me tell you something. I'm going to give everyone a little speech on what we should be teaching in high school besides ceramics, sewing, agriculture.
Were you anticipating
all
this shop
nonsense?
Class?
Bruce, I'm going to write down a little list of what it is I didn't learn and should have learned in high school.
It'll be a long list.
Yeah, that's right. We'll be back.
We'll be right back. Call on the 1-800-LOVE-191.
Yep, Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Spaz. You know him as Dr. Drew filling in. Pardon me, Dr. Bruce. Filling in for Dr. Drew, who'll be back Wednesday night, I hear. Not a moment too soon.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, when we left off, we're speaking to Jessica. Jessica's 15. Her teacher in agriculture class is hitting on her. Jessica?
Come here and give me a hug. Yeah.
Jessica?
Yeah?
What are you doing taking agriculture?
I don't know. They just put me in it. It's agricultural science.
That's a bad sign. Yeah. Let me, don't let the science part fool you. Here's the science of agriculture. We're going to cut this pig's balls off. Yeah. All right, gather around. Is that basically how it goes?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you, a bad student?
No.
Well, how'd you end up in that class?
I have all college prep, and that's the only non-college prep that I got. And
no kidding. That's junior college prep right there. All right, you need to get yourself out of that class. And what's the teacher doing to you?
Oh, he was, like, my favorite teacher, and then he just made this comment. He was, like, he made this really, like, he goes, oh, God, that shirt looks good on you. And then he touched my neck, and I was, like, I didn't know what to do, so I didn't go to this class for the last 2 days before Christmas break.
Well, were there other students around, or were you alone with him?
No, we were outside in the farm, and he's like, can I talk to you in class? So I went.
So you went inside?
Yeah.
How much farm does your school have?
Which farm?
No, I mean, how much? You got some land?
Yeah, we have a farm and a greenhouse.
Wow.
So you're afraid? Bad. You're afraid to go back to class, or?
It's weird because I don't even look at him anymore. He was my favorite teacher.
Is that the only thing he did? I mean.
Yeah, he just touched my neck and.
Yeah.
And like the shirt looks so good on you, and you should start wearing more things like that, and just.
Right. Okay. How about this? How about you go back to class, you avoid situations where you're going to be alone with him? Because, see, right now you don't really have much to go off of, you see? There's no use reporting this or anything like that. He'll just deny it. He didn't do anything, really, that's going to hold up anywhere. So go back to class. Don't freak out too much. Don't be in a position where you're going to be alone with him. Like he says, like, hey, it's goat milk in time. Come on, Jessica. Just me and you, baby. You can hold one teat. I'll grab the other. Don't go with it. All right? And if he does do anything else, tell him you're going to report him. But don't freak out. Just don't get in a situation where you're alone with him. Just, you're in class. When the bell rings, you sit down with everyone. And when the bell rings again, you leave with everyone.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
All right, don't freak out. And get the hell out of that crappy horticulture or agriculture class. Oh, I made a little list of some of the classes I had over the years, thanks to the wonderful LA Unified School District over at North Hollywood High. And again, Walter Reed Junior High. Higher establishments of learning, no doubt. I took a cooking class. This is where I learned how to make a what's called a Pillsbury Parmesan popover.
You took a cooking class?
Yeah. These were I can't remember what they call them, but you had to take them. And in this cooking class, all we did was take these Pillsbury, you know, pre-made muffins, pull them out of the container, put them on a cookie sheet, sprinkle Parmesan cheese on them, and then put them in the oven and just sit there and watch them for 20 minutes. And when they came out, we ate them.
Ah.
So I learned how to make good, greasy carbohydrate food in that class. I learned nothing in that class. I learned actually a flame was hot and that water was cool. Apparently water is used to clean dishes, whereas the flame is used to cook the food.
It sounds like people didn't appreciate your genius at that time.
Oh, this was seventh grade. I had agriculture and horticulture, where basically just sat around and watched turnips. And then I had a sewing class where every goddamn project I had went from the grading table into the trash can.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, Miss Sontag, what'd I get on this knapsack? You got a D. All right, thanks. Where's the trash can? Oh, over there? There you go. Oh, hey, one of my old projects is still in the trash can.
Okay.
Great. Right from the grade, I'd get it graded, then drop it in the garbage and leave.
Yeah.
Sewing. Why don't they just cut my nuts off and let the principal play with them like hacky sack, for Christ's sake? Sewing, plastics, ceramics, all worthless. Worthless. Complete waste of my time and the taxpayer's dollar.
I didn't think you started continuation school until you were in 10th grade.
This is warehousing. Do you hear me? This is warehousing.
Well, probably
not teaching anything to anybody. You're just keeping them occupied so they're not out on the streets.
They didn't do this to everybody.
Yeah, they did. Everyone who went to Walter Reed Junior High and North Hollywood High. I mean, all the dumbos like me. We all had these warehousing classes. Unless you're in some sort of gifted program or something. But even then, you probably had to take a few of these classes.
You probably established yourself by that time.
Meanwhile, I graduated high school. I couldn't fill out a job application. I write my name in the wrong line, you know, where the address was supposed to be, because I'd write it over my name instead of under my name or wherever the hell it said name. Screw that up. Then I'd always write anytime it ever said last name first, I always put my first name there. I mean, they should really have a class that just works on applications. Here is a renter's agreement. Read this. Let's understand what this means. Let's talk about first and last. Here's a rental agreement. Here's a job application. Here's this. Here's an application for a credit card. Let's sit down and work on that. Anderson, you're raising your hand. You have a question? You have to go to the bathroom.
We got to go to break, but they do. They have a class called Career Development that does all that.
They do. They do now. But when I was in junior high and in high school, there was nothing. Hey, they should have it. I'd like to teach a class called The Basics. Here's how you check the air pressure in your car. Here's how you put oil in it. Here's how you put coolant in it. Here's how you get it. Ladies, oral sex is how you get out of a speeding ticket. Practical information that we could all use.
Mm-hmm.
Some convict tries to put a shiv in your back while you're out in the rec yard. Here's how you handle it. All right, we're going to take ourselves a break. We'll be back after this.
Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah.
Love Line. We'll be right back. Call on the 1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey, Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce sitting in tonight for Dr. Drew. Well, it's been a half hour since I rubbed this numbing compound on my ankle, and so far it doesn't feel numb. Bruce told me during the commercial, yeah, it doesn't really work.
Yeah.
Although it does have a delicious beef flavor to it.
And I paid $400 for it.
I still haven't gotten to the bottom of why this cream you gave me that numbs parts, this topical cortisone cream or lidocaine cream, why it says beef flavor. I understand that the pharmacist was trying to save some money and reuse a label, but... And Bruce, listen, because you're a hard guy to communicate with sometimes.
That's why I'm here.
Does it say beef flavor because this lidocaine is beef flavored?
I have no idea, to tell you the truth. I ordered the stuff. I told him what I wanted.
Is he just effing with you with the beef flavor?
I have no idea.
Will you taste it for me?
I will not.
Would you think that something that was beef flavored was for an animal?
No, I...
Would you think that?
For an animal or made from an animal?
For an animal? Do you think people need medicine that's beef flavored?
This is a topical medicine. It was done in such a way that he types out these little labels. He does lots of these kind of preparations.
I see.
And if this was something that people were going to take orally, then...
I'm just asking hypothetically from a sort of human interest standpoint. If something said beef flavor, wouldn't you assume it was a medicine for an animal?
If it said beef flavor and it's made up specifically for your skin, then I'd say that it's totally superfluous to what's in that tube.
I see. But in general, if a medication said beef flavor on it, would you assume it was for an animal?
I would not.
All right, shut up. You idiot. Why wouldn't you? Of course you would. Please. Okay. Yeah, if it was for people, it'd be that yummy pina colada flavor they use, that pina colada flavored pumice they use to clean your teeth at the dentist. It's delicious.
We got to get you on a different subject.
Austin?
Hey, Adam.
Yeah, you're 14.
Yeah, you friggin' rule, man.
Oh, thanks, baby.
You are the coolest man in the world.
Why, thank you.
And people say that you're so funny and stuff, but really, you're the smartest guy on the show. No offense, Bruce.
Well.
Or Drew, but you, or Drew, wherever you are.
Yeah.
You are the smartest guy. You put everything into a form where everybody knows what you're talking about.
Every 14-year-old out there understands exactly
thank
what you're saying.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know. Like, Bruce, you're talking about, like, yeah. Adam, you just talk it so good.
Thanks, Austin.
Whatever. Figures it out.
Thanks, baby. I know. Bruce, you ask Drew what time it is. He has to look through a reference book to try to give you an answer.
But he'll give you the right time. If I ask you what time it is.
How dare you. Go ahead, Austin. What's your question?
All right. My question is, Bruce, do you know what the new drug is, like Triple C?
It's an FDA-approved drug we're talking about?
I don't know. It's like a cold cough medicine.
Where do you get it?
Well, I got, like, my friends got it from, like, Juul and stuff. And they, like, you, like, take, like, 8 of them and it makes you feel, like, all dizzy and stuff.
Yeah. You're talking about the cough medicine. What is the stuff that's in the cough medicine that gets you going?
I don't know what it is, but it makes you feel like kind of like dizzy.
Right. Well, okay. Bruce knows. What is that stuff?
Well, there's dextromethorphan.
That's the stuff that gives everyone the buzz, right?
I don't know. It's actually fairly toxic.
Yeah, but you drink a whole carton, a whole bottle of that, and you get kind of a euphoric feeling, right?
Actually, it's an interesting substance. Dextromethorphan actually has activity in opiate receptors. It's illegal in, I think, certain Scandinavian countries. I think, I'm not sure if Canada it is or it isn't. But the problem with some of these over-the-counter abuse issues, it's just like taking Dramamine or some of the...
Well, what's Dramamine do for you?
It's like taking Jimson weed or...
Yeah? What's that do for you?
People take it to hallucinate. I mean,
Dramamine, really?
There are phases. And
hey, I'm looking for good over-the-counter buzz. What should I take?
The over-the-counter buzz is one of the best ways to get yourself dead. So all you Adam Carolla brain scientist fans out there,
well,
take heed. It's not a, it's, there's not a good way to get loaded, but the worst way is to take over-the-counter.
Wait a minute. There's no good way to get loaded?
There's no healthy way. It's dangerous. I mean, altering your mood, okay, especially when you're a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
Very
yeah.
unpredictable.
No, not when you're a teenager. No, no. But what about for me? I'm an adult. Now, what about like sleeping pills over-the-counter? What would be my best bet? And how many?
They almost all have like Benadryl in them, something like that.
Yeah. Okay, and what do you think? Three for me?
You'll just fall asleep. You're just going to
that's what I want.
Have a dry mouth.
Yeah,
you're
going to
fall asleep.
Yeah, yeah, fall asleep, right.
You don't have, it affects your REM sleep. It does not give you normal sleep. Yeah. You have the hangover effect the next day. You stay tired all day.
Wait, over the three?
What? How many does it tell you to take?
Well, it tells you to take two. Should I take three?
If it tells you to take two, take two.
Take three, and then what about booze with that? Little booze?
No.
No booze?
No.
Why not?
Because anytime you take alcohol with any other sedative, it amplifies the effect.
Right, right,
you run the
right.
risk of not waking up.
Oh, okay. Not me.
No, probably yours.
DayQuil in a six-pack? DayQuil. Not NyQuil. DayQuil in a six-pack? What kind of buzz that gets you?
Don't, you don't fall asleep, but it makes you pretty good and high.
Okay, but I like that kind of downer, pass out kind of thing.
Well, isn't that just a masturbation and a bottle of wine for you?
Yeah, but sometimes I like to supplement my bottle of wine with something other than semen.
And then NyQuil, and get the purple smile.
NyQuil, okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Anderson.
For instance, when people take the Jimson weed or some of these over-the-counter, the motion sickness drugs,
right.
to get the effect that the kids want, they're running the risk of having a blood pressure that's going to kill them, of having very serious...
All right, let me yell at these kids for a second.
The kids.
Listen, it's not going to kill you.
You can communicate to them.
Just quiet down over there, Bruce. It's this stuff's not going to kill you, but this is a very... It's a very dangerous precedent to set for yourself at such a young age, getting effed up. Now, I believe that humans have a natural tendency to want to get effed up.
Right.
And whether that means sex or skydiving or going to a concert or there's an innate sort of thing that's built into people of wanting to change their affect or change their mood or change their feeling somehow, to somehow change themselves. And some people do it through booze, and like I said, some people do it through sex or skydiving or what have you. And some things are more healthier than others, but I think everyone has that.
But not in teenagers. When you're a teenager, you're pushing the limits. You just want to see what you can get away with.
Yeah, you do. And you should not be looking for ways like all that huffing, copier, toner, and all that stuff. Don't be killing your brain cells at 14. Believe me, your brain is still growing. When you get a little bit older and your brain is done and the cement in your head is dry, then you can think about effing yourself.
And it takes
up.
A lot less of this stuff. Let me just say this. With dextromethorphan, with ephedrine, a lot of the cold preparations with the anti-motion sickness pills, there have been deaths. There have been cases. When I was in the ER about 10 years ago, there were about 5 or 7 kids that ate each a box of these the motion sickness pills, and there were deaths. So,
really?
Dextromethorphan, there have been deaths.
They had a whole box of Dramamine?
Yeah, that or some other rant. So,
all right, Austin.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go, buddy.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Well,
good times, right?
Well, my friend, he like took like 60 of these pills.
Okay.
In, like, 12 hours.
What happened?
Well, he didn't. He was just like.
He probably
like,
barfed up most of them.
He was just effed up. He like couldn't like even. He like doesn't remember anything from it, and like they say that he's like got like.
Brain damage.
Yeah, like brain damage.
All right. Right. So don't be one of them.
Yeah. Well, I just like.
Yeah.
I took like once, like eight.
Okay.
Like, I took eight of them.
All right, don't. Come on. Go.
Could anything happen to me?
Listen, can't you play air guitar?
Yeah.
Why do you got to do that?
You spent.
Jesus Christ.
Go buy some Pokemon cards or something. He's wasting his money on that.
Tell him to buy some Pokemon cards.
He's wasting his money on all this stuff anyway.
Just like this.
What happened to Boone's Farm?
Listen, listen, everybody. Your brain is your computer. Don't F with it. You need it almost your whole life. You really do. You get older, you don't need it. But if you're a woman, you don't need as much. But if you're a young man, you're going to need that brain. You need that computer. Don't dump sand and beer in it.
What if you're a comedian?
Comedian, you don't need it.
Yeah.
Matt? Caller goes by the name of Matt, who's 15 years old?
Yeah.
What's up?
to him. After I, like, whack off sometimes, my, like, nuts hurt.
Yeah. You worried that your parents will hear you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your nuts hurt?
Yeah.
Well,
something's wrong with his testicle?
How many times you do it a day?
Like, once, but for, like, the past, like, up until yesterday, for, like, 4 days, I didn't do it to see the...
Kind of break, but 15. Yeah. Listen. I couldn't have abstained from masturbation at 15 for 4 days if both hands were buried in cement. I would have done it with my knee.
But you're in such good shape. I bet you didn't have this pain.
That's right.
You were
in training. What is Matt's from?
Well, there's intense muscular contraction. There's a soreness afterwards. It's perfectly normal.
It is?
Yeah.
All right, so he shouldn't have himself checked out?
You know, I've got to tell everybody to have themselves checked out.
Well, having pain in the testes.
Soreness, not. No
problem? All right. Bruce.
Wait a second. I was trying to get him back to ask him a couple more questions. No.
Jesus Christ. Matt?
Yeah?
Answer some questions.
The doctor is in now. Matt?
Yeah.
Are you having more pain on one side than the other? Is it right in your testicles? Is it up further? Where your scrotum hooks onto your body? You know,
it's more like at the bottom.
Okay, and it's on both sides.
No,
one side.
Well, sometimes it sort of depends because, sometimes afterwards or after I take a shower, afterwards they sort of more would hang one way to the other.
That's pretty normal.
Yeah.
Too.
Do they hurt, goofball?
Yeah.
All right, but not one side more than the other?
No.
All right. You glad we'd spend an extra 10 minutes on
this? Testicular cancer has two peak periods, earlier in life, later in life. So as a teenager, that's why you need to get examined. You need to get checked out for that. But pain that's a soreness, specifically after the kid masturbates, that's not...
No problem.
Not that unusual.
All right. Bob?
Hey. How you guys
21.
Doing?
Good. What's up?
All right. I've gotten myself into a little bit of a mess here. I have a kind of a girlfriend who has a fiance, and we've all been messing around, not at the same time. And now we believe she's pregnant, and we need to know if there's an in utero pregnancy or paternity test that we can get.
All right. Let me just sort this whole sordid mess out.
Yeah, it's bad.
She's your girlfriend.
Kind of.
She has a fiancé.
Mm-hmm.
She had the fiancé first, and then she started seeing you?
Yeah.
And everyone knows about everyone?
No, I'm secret.
Oh, he still doesn't know about you.
Right.
Is she going to go through with the marriage?
Probably.
Why is she going to do this, and how long have you two been running around?
Oh, about a month.
Just a month?
Actually, about two. There's some history to it, but it's...
I see.
I mean, I can go into it if you want.
Well,
did
you know her before this?
No.
She wasn't an ex-girlfriend of yours?
No.
Basically just picked up on her?
Mm-hmm.
And she's not in love with you?
Kind of. Not a whole lot. Not like marry you and have kids with you forever love.
But she's sort of in love with you.
Right.
Yeah. She seems pretty chaotic to be running around with someone as she's engaged.
Yeah.
Does she have a wedding date?
Not yet.
Okay.
She's got lots of money.
Is she a mess?
I don't know. I'm with her, so.
Yeah, but you're kind of a mess.
Yeah.
Hey Bob, and you want to know whether she's pregnant?
We believe so. We've had one test. She's taking a second one tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
But she's late. And
her fiancé doesn't know about it yet?
He knows everything. He thinks it's his.
He thinks it's his.
And it may be, in other words.
Isn't it?
Yeah, and it may be. Right?
Yeah, it could be. It could be.
Why is it that, here's what I don't understand, and this happens a lot. People are screwing around, and they're not using protection. I mean, Jesus Christ, if you're gonna cheat, for Christ's sake.
We started when we were going out, and it's actually kind of funny what happened. A pet consumed the supply of birth control.
I see. You guys have a goat you keep in the bedroom?
That's a dog.
Ate the condoms.
Ate the birth control pills.
Oh, that's fantastic. Betty White's going insane right now. All right, so the pet ate all the birth control pills.
Yes.
And that dog needs to go to school, by the way, if it's eating birth control pills. And but he didn't eat what the won't condoms. It eat, I guess, is a question.
Contraception buffet.
All right. And and those were your birth control pills or hers?
Hers.
I see. The good news is you can bang the bejesus out of the dog without worrying about it for a couple of months.
Well, why didn't you do the morning after thing?
Oh, because he's an idiot. Now, listen. Yeah. So she didn't want to get pregnant, but meanwhile, she's off her birth control, and you and the fiancé are boinking her.
Mm-hmm.
So there's almost always a penis in her vagina, 24/7, and now she doesn't know. So, Bruce, what about it?
Wait, I want to, what, if she's going to marry the guy, why does she want to know so desperately, so quickly?
She wants to know.
Whose baby is.
What do you mean, why?
The way we'll handle this is, if it's his, she'll marry the guy and have the kid, and they'll do the happily ever after your family thing. If it's mine, we're going to get rid of it.
Good plan. That's right. That's right. They're going to do the humane thing and kill it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now,
well,
of course. Now, Bruce, how can they do?
Well, I mean,
if you get
an amniocentesis, you're going to get fluid that will give you
DNA?
That kind of information. Yeah, the chromosomal information from that will tell you.
When can you do that amniocentesis?
You're looking at a little ways down the line. What state are you in?
No more than a month.
No, but what state are you calling from?
Oh, I'm sorry. Right. Ohio, right on the border of Kentucky.
Yeah, so you can get an abortion there up until what point in the
pregnancy? That's a cultural mecca of North America, isn't it? Ohio, right on the state of Kentucky.
Here. I went out real bad.
Oh, you do? Okay.
He's the second caller we've had.
Leave all those Bohemians and their sitting around the coffee shops exchanging ideas and talking about the Bauhaus architecture.
I'm not sure what the... How soon? You don't know.
Okay. But they can. There is such a thing. Isn't it an expensive test?
Yeah, it's an...
Is it expensive? Unless insurance
will cover it if there's a risk.
No. But they're not going to cover the paternity part of it.
Probably not. It is expensive. And the question is...
We don't know.
Yeah, it depends how far along...
21 years old.
What's that?
I'm decently well off for 21 years old.
Oh, you are? What do you do?
I can get it.
What do you do, sell weed?
Computer crap.
I see. All right, so here's what you need to do, Bob. Because Bruce over here claims he went to school, but I see no evidence of it. You need to speak to somebody, and you need to find out when they could schedule the amnio, when the soonest they could schedule it after, you know, from the time she was from the time of insemination. And I don't know what that is. I'd imagine it's a couple months in.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not 3 weeks in.
No. I mean, you're looking at...
A couple of months in. Then you need to figure out the price of having this test done on the amnio fluid.
Not worried about it. I'll pull that string.
All right, Bob. And then you find out what it is. Now, if it turns out to be your kid... and you got to give it the abortion, then she just basically has it and tells the husband that she spontaneously aborted when she was in a step aerobics class.
Well, she's kind of, she thinks...
Because you think about that stepping.
She hasn't given him any decision yet.
She hasn't what?
She hasn't given him a decision yet. She's kind of...
I see. Well, maybe I'll just... I always say play it safe and get the abortion.
That's what I'm hoping happens.
Well, all right, Bob.
Why aren't we asking how he got himself into this situation?
The dog ate the pills.
Why is he having sex with somebody that's engaged?
With the dog? Oh, well, you know how. The guy is 21. He's calling from the Ohio-Kentucky border. What do you want? This is pretty good. He's not having sex with an animal.
I think we should find out why he's...
He's doing fine.
No, he's not doing fine. He has no boundaries. He's
doing fine. He's a smart guy. He's doing some computers. He's got money for the abortion. That's all I want. All I ask out of you kids is that you have enough to get your first, second, third abortion. All right, Bruce, I know you're a big fan of the abortion.
Oh, yeah.
Marcus?
Yeah, how's it going?
You're 21. What's up?
Well, I had a question. The past couple months, every time I go to the bathroom, number two, I absolutely have to take a shower. And I work at a job where I shake a lot of people's hands, and It disgusts me. I can't stand it anymore. Even if someone's sitting behind me and they sneeze, I just get disgusted and I just feel...
What's your UAE? I'm going to guess your job.
Yeah, you'll never guess it.
I know it. Greeter at a casino.
No.
Oh.
I actually don't get paid.
You don't get paid, but you still do a lot of handshaking.
Yeah.
Greeter at a 12-step meeting.
What job is that?
I'm a Mormon missionary.
I see. So you travel around on your bicycle?
Yeah, I ride a bike a lot.
And you show up at people's houses?
And I bother them, yeah.
That's right. What's the best time to show up at someone's house?
Well, we knock on doors in the afternoon time.
Right.
And catch a lot of housewives.
I see.
And then we come back later that night and their husbands are all pissed off.
Yeah, aren't you scared that you're going to knock on a door and some guy's going to be robbing a house and just come out and put a knife in you or something?
No, I'm more scared of the dogs.
I see, yeah, a lot of bad dogs, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, so you're a, you know what you need? You see these, I got one of these toilet seats that shoots water in your ass. It's like your ass is taking a shower after you go number two. You ever see these things?
I probably couldn't afford it right now.
Yeah, you'd be the only Mormon on the block with one of these seats, I guarantee you that. But it's good times. And your ass needs a squirt after pedaling 70 miles a day on that bike of yours.
Marcus, any other anxiety problems or depression problems? Any family history of anything like that? Any obsessive compulsive disorder in the family?
No bad family history. I kind of feel like I was beat with a stick known as organized religion, but that's about it.
Well, it doesn't sound like you're too behind all this stuff.
What stuff?
The whole Mormon thing. Like, do you have to go and do your missionary work and all that?
Yeah, it's kind of required.
Yeah. You don't sound like a huge fan of this.
No, I'm not. I'm almost done, so I'm just kind of sticking it out.
Yeah, but why don't you just quit? You're not into it. You don't believe in it.
I know, but the jobs will be better when I get back into Utah society and all that stuff. So.
Really? Is that an important thing in Utah?
Yeah, it kind of is.
I mean, on your job application, when they're hiring, if they saw a guy who went through this, they would hire him sooner than they'd hire an atheist?
Probably not that, but the connections that I'll have if I go through this will be better.
All right, so you're almost done.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you're freaking out because you're getting this germ phobia.
Yeah, everything's just dirty around me, it feels like.
Right. Yeah. Okay, when you have intrusive thoughts or you have to perform ritualistic behaviors to feel okay, and if you don't, you get anxious and stuff like that, if it starts interfering with your daily activities and your responsibilities, then you have an obsessive compulsive problem, and you really need going to need to see somebody.
Oh, he needs a little medication. Hey, as a Mormon, can you eat those pills to make you better?
Yeah, we can eat.
You're allowed to do that? What are you allowed? What can't you do? How about booze? No booze?
No booze.
Oh. Jeez, that hurts. I'm going to have a drink for you tonight when I get home, Marcus.
Thank you.
What about coffee?
No, absolutely not.
No!
No coffee.
No! Cigarettes?
Oh, no way.
Oh, pot?
No.
LSD. Why don't you ask him?
No, what are the perks? You more than one wife, right?
Not anymore, no.
No?
No.
No. Yeah.
I have an interracial heaven, too, so.
You do? You get a heaven, you get an open...
Yeah.
Open heaven. You can see everyone up there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. So Marcus, this sounds like it's starting to interfere with things or become a problem.
Go talk to a doctor. Maybe you need some of them pills to mellow you out a little bit.
What all right? Pills are those?
Well, you know, like
serotonin. There are various medications available now. But
you got a lot of good stuff for this.
The point is that, well, it sounds like Marcus is starting to have some personal concern over... The pooping and the washing the hands and the...
Well, he'll be fine. Now, see, I'm totally different. I will scratch my ass like a monkey and then eat a taquito.
As long as
with
you
the
don't
same goddamn hand.
Serve other people taquitos.
I'll put a taquito up my ass and twist it like it was a Q-tip swab in my ear and then pull it out and eat it. I have no problem with that.
Personal hygiene is not an issue with you.
I've been known to urinate in my bathroom sink while my toothbrush was in there.
Oh.
I rinse it off. Where's it going? Urine's sterile. Listen, I never get sick. I eat stuff off the floor all the time. I eat stuff that's bad all the time. I eat meat that's bad and dairy that's bad, milk that's bad, and I sniff cheese. It's no good. I just, I eat it anyway.
Yeah, there's some stuff growing in your refrigerator.
I eat a lot of spoiled stuff, a lot of junk. Just today, Jimmy was over. He was cooking up some sausage. He said, geez, this sausage has been in the fridge for a couple of weeks. I'm not sure if it's any good. I said, smell it. What's it smell like? He said, nah, nothing. I said, cook it up. Come on. It's fine. No problem.
Ugh.
Play, isn't that stuff all overrated?
No.
Really? I just mean, you know, the stuff everyone's worried about.
The public health advances of modern culture, you've put those aside in favor.
I have peed in the sink and ate stuff off the floor my entire life. Never felt better, and I never get sick. I've peed on my toothbrush many times.
Yes.
I urinate in the sink, I see the toothbrush there, I'm too lazy to move it. Pee right on.
Has Drew tried to put you on any
No problem with that. Well, I'd only need pills Powell if I did it on purpose.
Major tranquilizer would do.
No problem. Huh. Stuff off the floor 24/7. Sometimes I actually put food on the floor just so I can eat it off the floor. This isn't stuff that fell on the floor. I actually enjoy eating off the floor.
You know what I noticed, Daddy? All your buddies that I met, you're the one that's not married. And the longer I know you, the more support there is for the theory that it's your a level of personal impairment that keeps you isolated from the...
All right. You're due for a second beating. We're going to take ourselves a break. We'll be back after this. 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back. Hey, Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Bruce over there. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Another couple of nights. You ready to rock here, Bruce?
Mm-hmm.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Lit is coming on later this week. And let's go to Carrie. Carrie?
Yes. My boyfriend is on Paxil and Buspar. And, about every month, about 2 to 3 times a night, we'll go to bed, and in the middle of the night, he'll end up waking up and we'll end up having sex, and then the next morning, he doesn't remember at all.
Yeah, you must be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So I was just wondering if it's because of the Paxil, because I know it has sexual side effects. I didn't know anything about it.
Was this something that never happened before he got on the meds?
A lot of people, when they wake up, can't remember what they...
Well, we've been together for about a year, and he was already on the meds before I got on with him. I don't know if it was before. I don't think it was. So.
Well, you don't know because you weren't with him, though.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Well, okay. What's he taking him for?
He has anxiety
and depression.
I see.
And depression.
Doesn't Paxil kill your Johnson? Doesn't have negative effects? I mean, doesn't make you more sexual normally, does it?
That's
you, goofball. I'm asking goofball Bruce over here.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Serotonin reuptake inhibitors typically
blunt
that.
That's your job to chime in with that.
Prevent ejaculation.
That's another part of your job.
And
so now this is a little bit curious.
Yeah.
Because, here, why don't you ask me a carpentry question, Bruce, and because that's a topic I know. I'll give you an example when it's like working with you.
Okay, how would you prepare a slab floor for an oak wooden covering?
That's
a good imitation of me. That's pretty good. That's good radio.
Wood floor. Now I'll play you. Wouldn't you need something to nail it down to? Wouldn't you want to put some plywood down first? No. You could. Yeah, you need to put something.
I think you've made your point.
All right. I think I hope I have, but apparently not, because we go through this every time. You be the doctor and tell her what's going on. This is strange because normally when you take this, you don't do any raping in the middle of the night, right?
She's not being raped. It sounds like...
Well, no. I call it. I prefer to think of it as rape.
Oh, you can think of it whatever the...
Anytime there's sex, I think of that as rape for me.
Right.
So...
That tells me something.
Now,
okay,
what's she going to do about this?
I don't know. Why don't you press the magic button so I can talk to
her? What is she going
to
do about this?
Carrie, let's just clarify. It's not aggressive sex. What?
It doesn't bother me. He doesn't do it without me knowing about it. I know, but it doesn't bother me.
I know. But these medications normally don't make people more amorous.
Well, sometimes he's not either. Sometimes
he's just... I see. Dude, they're just having sex. Okay.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, Buspar is typically not a very potent medication. It doesn't always work that well for anxiety.
Do you enjoy this, Carrie?
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Enjoy. Let's keep moving here. Shelley?
She needs to talk. His next physician visit and discuss it with a physician.
Why is it even connected to the medication?
Well, that's what I said in the first place. Many people just... I had a friend that when he was on call, he would tell nurses what to do, and the next day he truly did not remember. But once he was in a certain phase of sleep, if he was awakened, he made recommendations, which were fine, but he would not be able to remember the next day. So that's normal for some people. And
right, but what does this have to do with the medication?
Nothing, because you said it may not have anything to do with the medication. I'm saying that's right. Exactly right.
All right.
Some people that are perfectly normal have that kind of behavior.
All righty. Oh, I see. Shelley, you're 14. Shelley. Caller goes by the name of Shelley, who's 14.
She fell asleep.
And I heard a
when
squeak.
When you were stuttering. Ooh, I think you overdid my stuttering a little.
Yes, Shelley.
Yeah, you woke her up.
No, okay.
Now, you know the part makes me the biggest fan of you, Bruce, is when I then jump in and tell you something that you should agree with, but you disagree with it, and then you ooh-ah for 5 minutes and then get back to agreeing with it. You see what I'm saying?
I think you just did that with me, but
ooh,
maybe I'm wrong.
Shelley?
I'm not 14, I'm 15.
That's right, baby.
whatever.
I don't really have a question, but I guess I need some advice.
Mm-hmm.
For 3 years, I've been self-harming.
Self-harming?
Yeah.
Like self-mutilation?
Yeah.
Are you carving on yourself?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Is that what you're doing?
That and cutting and burning.
I see. Okay. What do you burn yourself with?
Matches.
Uh-huh.
I'll light them and then blow them out. And while they're still hot,
uh-huh.
I'm just kidding with it.
Yeah, it's no good if you just let them sit for a half hour and then put them on you. I mean, after you blow them out, it's just like putting, you know, a piece of cardboard on you, you know?
Mm.
So why are you doing this?
I don't know. I can't figure it out.
Yeah. Have you ever talked to a therapist?
No, I don't know how to go about that because I can't tell my parents about it.
I see. What got you going? Are your parents very controlling?
Well, like my dad, he's really protective, I guess. He doesn't let me do a lot of stuff.
I see. And did he ever beat on you?
No. He yells a lot and stuff, but he's never hit me.
I see. Very controlling, very protective.
Yeah.
There's usually, you know, obviously there's a lot of anger and rage turned inwards on yourself with something like this. And when you go see a counselor, they're going to talk to you about growing up, things that happened to you, and it's a very non-threatening, comfortable experience. Now, I wasn't clear as to whether or not you're afraid to talk to somebody or you're not sure who to talk to.
Kind of both.
Okay. Do you have a family doctor or a minister or somebody that you're comfortable with that you could have access to?
See, my mom has insurance from where she works.
Right.
And she just had it changed. So our doctor, he's not on the list anymore. So, and I live in like a town, and then our doctor's offices, they're in a next town over. So there's no way I can get to there.
Okay. How about school counselor?
They'll tell my parents.
No, I don't know if they will.
With teenagers, things like this are really confidential. If they have information that you give that implies you're going to kill yourself, there are certain mandates where you have to tell somebody, the parents or another mental health worker. But confidentiality is real. It does exist even with teenagers. And it's a common fear that if you talk to somebody about something like this, the first thing they do is pick up the phone and call your parents. And that's not the way it works.
No. My school counselors did, but that's just because I was busted.
Yeah, you were having sex with animals. And
doing stuff,
right.
Yeah. How'd you know I was having sex with animals?
Your friends last night told me.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, that was all the rage, you know, back in the
early
80s.
You don't have to feel embarrassed about it.
Everyone was doing it.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm not ashamed.
You've gotten the help you needed. You're a successful comedian.
Well, look at me. I'm a millionaire. Literally. A millionaire.
Yeah.
But your school counselor, that was a guy you avoided, right?
Not me.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I was buddies with the guy.
Were you?
But, you know.
Sexual buddies?
No, absolutely
what buddies?
Not.
No?
You know, I didn't have that kind of behavior.
You didn't? You didn't have that? You didn't have sex with your counselor?
My, you have sex with anybody.
Yeah. My counselor's name was Mr. Tomey, and basically my job was to avoid Mr. Tomey. He didn't like me much. He knew I wasn't one of the better students at North Hollywood High.
Yeah.
And I would basically, if his office door was open, I would just run past it so he didn't call me in.
Yeah.
But one time I did, when I got suspended, he did have to call my dad. And the problem was every year they would give you something called an emergency card to fill out, and you had to fill this card out. Have your parents sign it, and then hand it in before you could register for your classes. And because I was a little bit, well, I was unable to do anything that anyone requested of me from the ages of 0 to 30.
Sort of an oppositional
It was, part of it was just being combative, but the other part was just being stupid and not being able to do things. Couldn't fill things out correctly, couldn't take books home without losing them, couldn't do homework, couldn't write, couldn't read, just couldn't do anything.
Uh-huh.
And they'd give me this card to take home and have signed, and I'd realize by the time it was time to register that I never took it home and no one ever signed it, and therefore I couldn't register that day, and therefore I wouldn't get all my great classes, you know, like ceramics and horticulture class. So I would then fill in the information and sign my dad's name and hand it to the guy so I could do it. And I realized a year later when I was suspended what they use that emergency card for, which is when you're suspended or if you have, you know, an aneurysm or something, they pull that emergency card and try to get information like dad's work number, place of employment,
what phone number,
phone numbers and things like that. Well, me and my buddies all filled the thing out, and the thing said, it said residence. I had put down for Ronald McDonald Halfway House was my residence.
Oh.
And for it, it was funny at the time. And for dad's occupation, I basically wrote, works for government, and then underneath everything in the occupation, I wrote classified. So dad's phone number classified, dad's place of residence, dad's address, dad's anything, mom's maiden name, everything was classified, I wrote on there. So when Mr. Tomey sat me down in his office and said, well, now you're suspended, now let me just find your card so I can call your father and have him come pick you up and yell at you, went through. And I remember he pulled the card. I did this 9 months earlier and was not thinking about it at all. And he was studying it for a few moments, and he was looking at all the nonsense with the mom's work address, Hollywood and Vine, uh-huh. And, you know, her pimp let her off work, and just all that, you know, sex, yes, occasionally, but mostly masturbation, all the nonsense you can fill out. One of you and your high school buddies could fill out laughing in line before right. You register. And he just stared at this card for a while, and then he looked at me, and then he said, without showing me the card, he said, did you fill this card out? And that's when my brain, you know, once in a while your brain fires up, kind of like you're trying to start a weed whacker or a lawnmower, like, vroom, vroom. I'm like sitting there, I'm looking at the card, and I'm going, that's one of those times you want to consult with somebody like Oliver North did with his attorney before you give the answer. You realize it's not going to look good when you pause for 10 minutes because it's sort of an admission of guilt. Did you fill this out, Adam? You give one of those non-committal answers. Probably, but you never know. Why? What's on it? And then he flips it over, and it's written in my clear chicken scratch writing, my horrible penmanship that only a left-handed person with disability could have. Yeah, and it matched any other writing that he had in any other folder he had over there on me. Yeah, and I was like, uh-huh. Yeah, that might have been. See, your mom is a whore who works on Hollywood and Vine is her work address. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't remember that part. So anyway, basically, I had to call information to find my dad's number. Which, so it took a bad situation. It's made it worse, I guess, is what it was. But no, he was Mr. Tomey, and I tried like hell to avoid his office, and I certainly wouldn't come to him with any problem I was having.
That's great.
Well, these are wonderful stories.
Thank you, Huel. But it's a new time. It's a new age, and kids can do this now. And that's who she needs to talk to.
But who was that?
Was that the story? All right.
Yeah, that sounds like that.
We're going to take
like
a break. When we come back, we'll talk to... no, I don't want to talk to that person.
You don't want to talk to that one? Okay, well, we did that one before.
Uh-huh.
Cards, words.
We just talked to a carver. And wants to know the difference between herpes 1 and 11?
1 and 2.
Oh. You just put a 2 on there. What are we, in Rome? All right, we'll be back.
Loveline will be right back, so get your problems ready.
Hip, Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. Dr. Bruce is over there to my left. That'd be to your right if you're facing the radio. He is filling in for Dr. Drew, who's on a another one of his many, many, many...
junkets.
Many vacations. And, you know, people talk about this show, and they talk about commitment. And they talk about Drew. They talk about how he loves the kids, and he's doing this. And I'm looked at some jack-off who sits here and makes fart jokes. But who's here every night?
Thank God for Dr. Drew.
Who's really
not
here?
Not Dr. Adam. I don't see a doctor in front of your name, Mr. Big Mouth.
Who's here for the kids? That's my point.
Drew's here for the kids.
No.
You are so...
Drew is skiing.
You are so irritating.
Drew skis
and obnoxious
for the kids.
That Drew needs more vacations just to recuperate from your abrasive personality.
Oh, he gets this wife of his and those triplets together. That is no vacation.
I think a vacation for you is I'd like to send you and Susan to a desert island for a
month. You better send a shotgun. Because I'll kill her and I'll kill myself. I would kill her. That's the way I would do it. Terry?
Yeah, what's up?
You're 19.
I will be next month, but close enough.
Okay, what's up?
I've got a couple problems and a couple questions I want to ask.
Mm-hmm.
We're past the 90s, so usually these days, if a guy and girl start dating, it's the guy that wants sex most of the time first.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite. I'm trying to look for a girl that doesn't want a sex relationship, and I cannot find one.
You're gay.
No, I'm not gay. I'm far from it.
Drew's drunk as a skunk and sitting in a hot tub right now. He knows you're gay.
He's just jealous because he can't get any girls, okay?
Well, that's probably true. Well, potentially he could. He chooses not to.
But I just can't find a girl that wants to settle down and have a nice relationship.
Are you a virgin?
No, I've had sex once and I had a baby. And...
One time you have a baby?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, I've had sex like 9 times and I haven't had a kid. You realize that?
Luckily, I don't have my ex-fiancé and my kid.
I see.
Okay, so you tell me you're going out with girls.
Wait,
women.
Who's raising your kid?
It was given up by the state of Nevada because my fiancé was taken away and thrown in prison for 76 years.
She was thrown in where for 76 years?
Prison.
76?
Yep.
How old was she when she was taken away?
She had just turned 19.
I see. And what did they, she tried to stuff the kid in a slot machine or something?
No, she was pulled over for drug trafficking, and they found 112 pounds of methamphetamine in her trunk.
Well, ooh, it wasn't like it was 200 pounds.
Personal use?
Really?
Under the limit? Personal use?
It was her fourth defense.
76 years. And is that like a mandatory thing now? When's she up for parole?
She's not. She's got 2 life terms.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be a little rough to be 19 and get 76 years in the pokey. You know, people going, listen, you get your exercise, you don't smoke, you stay away from the carbohydrates. You know, you'll be 95 when you get out. You still got a couple good years of freedom ahead of you. If you take care of yourself, take your supplements, stay away from some of that starchy prison food.
Yeah,
that's got to be rough. All right.
Can I ask my question now?
Yeah. Go ahead.
At what point do you find out that these women they want sex with you? Is it like the first date every time? Or?
No, because it's mostly girls that you talk to. I mean, they're asking you all these kinky questions and stuff like that. And it's like, why don't you answer that? I'm not into that kind of thing. And most of the girls are like, oh, okay. Sorry, you know?
Right.
Okay.
Where are you going, dude? Where are you cruising chicks? At the monster truck show or something like that?
No, usually I would meet a couple of girls at church.
How gay are you?
At church?
What church?
Okay, listen, Terry.
You know?
Do you go to school? What do you do for a living?
You wouldn't believe me if I told you.
All right, you're right. You better not.
Okay.
What do you do?
I do stunts for motion pictures.
I see. And there must be plenty of women hanging around the set there.
Not many stunt women.
Right, but there's got to be some women around the set, caterers, makeup people, wardrobe people.
But, you know, the people I work with. I'm not going to date someone I work with.
What do you mean? You don't work on a film for more than a couple of weeks. What do you care? Look, goofball. Who are you talking
if
to?
If you have those standards, people will respect
those
standards.
I don't believe this guy.
I don't see people raping him.
Oh, listen. Just go meet someone you're attracted to and work it out. I got a prom. I can't meet chicks. They all want to have sex with me. How dare he insult our intelligence that way? Real quick. Where do you want to go to break? No. Dave?
You.
I love the kids too much. You're 19. You can't have an orgasm while you're having sex with a woman?
Well, it's not that I can't. I have before. It just takes forever.
Okay. What about during a BJ?
Not that either.
Yeah?
Is this supposed to
be
sex?
What if I gave you one, brother?
Gay.
Are you? Definitely not gay, but gay.
All right. All right, baby. Yeah. Is anything up with your penis? Does it work okay?
To my knowledge, yeah. I never have a problem when I'm by myself.
I see. And the problem is, okay, here's a quick tip because we got to go to break. Dave,
you're
by yourself and you're working your penis quite a bit, right?
Not really. I mean,
once a day?
When I was younger, yeah, not even once a day.
Okay, well, you got to get back up on that horse, brother.
You think so?
Here's the deal. Your penis is used to a certain sensation, which is your hand and you in a certain position.
Sure, sure.
Get into that. What, are you on your back when you masturbate?
Well...
Is that what you're in, or you do that thing where you stiffen up like a board and lean your forehead up against the tile in the bathroom, like someone leaned a surfboard against the side
depends.
Of a car?
It depends, man.
That's my move.
Not everyone's written an autobiography based on masturbatory behaviors like you have.
I don't know. Okay, listen, here's my advice for Dave. Find one chick and work it out. Don't hop from chick to chick. Find one chick, do all your experimenting, earn your stripes. We'll be back.
Hello. This is your radio. Love Line will be right back.
All right. Well, there you have it. Another fine performance turned in
the
by Dr. Bruce. He showed up for the second half of the show and made right up.
I provided CPR at the roadside. There was an accident. I delivered a baby in the second half of the trip to L.A. from my house.
That's right.
I've had anal sex and I've passed out a couple times.
Yeah, that's what happened. Next time, have your life partner wake you up in time to make it to the show on time.
Oh,
all right. We will check out for just about 22 hours or so. And then we'll be back with more Fantabulous Love Line tomorrow night. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Bruce, otherwise known as Dr. Spaz, saying mahalo.
Rowing a soul will die.
This has been Love Line. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Love Line is Ann Wilkins Engel. Love Line is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.